When I was a young boy, there was one evening growing up in a small suburban town when all of a sudden these four spotlights shone up and lit up the night sky. Now, we're talking about the early 80s here, so this was before the age of when towns glow with their neon signs and all the streetlights and all that. So to see these four spotlights moving around in a set pattern in the evening was an enormous big deal. It meant that something new and big was going on, and somebody was trying to attract a whole bunch of people to come to whatever was going on. It was a moment of excitement, and it never happened before in our small town. So the three of us, my mom and my dad and me, myself, we got in the car and we drove around town trying to find exactly where these spotlights were. And we drove around for about an hour thinking, oh, maybe it was something going on at the grocery store. Well, no, maybe it was something at the department store. No. So we just kept driving around one thing after another until we finally found the source of the spotlights. A used car dealership was opening. Needless to say, we were rather disappointed at having spent all this time and driving around to find that, yay, Spitzer Toyota was now open. Yay, boo, and we went home disappointed. But perhaps you can understand this idea of exactly what the Magi were doing so long ago. To them, a star that had never been there before. To see its rising in the east, as astrologers, that was exactly like a young boy seeing the spotlights in the sky. It meant something was going on that had never, ever happened before. Now, while they couldn't get into our family car and drive around, they did the only thing they possibly could. They got on their camels and they went searching for where the star was leading them. Now, a Magi is somebody from Persia. Now, to go from Persia to the Holy Land, it would be like walking from California to Maine. Okay? It takes 3 days of driving. It probably would take months of walking to go from point A to point B. But yet, they were so concerned about who was this that the star foretold, they rode miles and miles, weeks after weeks, in order to find the one who was born king of the Jews. Now, naturally, you would think a king was going to be born in the palace, right? That's where kings are, born to the one who already was king or queen. So they go, these Magi, to Herod's and say, show us the king. And Herod says, you're looking at him. No, the one who was born king of the Jews. Now, if you're the king, and somebody tells you that another king has been born, you're not exactly going to be open to sharing. You're not going to want to share your throne or your power or your control. And as we learn from the future verses of our story, Herod actually tries to kill Jesus along with every other young boy that's the same age. Well, they finally figure out Jesus is supposed to be born in Bethlehem according to the prophet. So they make their trip to Bethlehem. They find the house that the star is over, and then at long last, their journey is complete. They find Jesus in Mary's lap, and they fall down on their knees, and they worship him. They open their treasure boxes that these camels have hauled all across the desert, and they bring out these immeasurable gifts, gifts worthy of a king, and they lay it at his feet. It seems then that these Magi from Persia were willing to travel this far to worship and ultimately to give these gifts for someone whom they thought was their own king. This worship and this gifts are things you only do and give and behave for royalty. And they were willing to go that far to worship him and to gift him. And the most astounding part is that they aren't Jews worshiping a Jewish king. Perhaps then that is why Matthew put it into his story in this place, that this Jewish Messiah wasn't just for one family, for 12 tribes, for sons and daughters of one specific bloodline. No, this one born king of the Jews is actually king over all creation. And these three Persians were willing to go this far to worship and to serve this king. Perhaps that is the great epiphany which we remember on this day, that the Jewish Messiah is in fact your Messiah. That the one born king of the Jews, son of David, is actually the world's king. King of kings, Lord of lords, ruler of all. That is who this baby is. He is, in fact, your king, your Lord, and your sovereign. God didn't send Jesus for one small group of select people. God sent the Son, in fact, for all people. And if three Persians can worship and serve Jesus, then my friends, the good news this day is we are all magi. We are all wise men and women if we will seek after this king, if we are willing to worship and serve this king. Because the Jewish Messiah is not just for a small, select group of people. God sent the Son, in fact, for all people. That is the light. That is the great revelation. That is the great epiphany that we remember on this day, that we Gentiles, that is, non-Jewish people, can worship and serve Christ like the Magi worshipped and served Christ. My friends, that is the great news, the great comfort, that Jesus is not very particular about whom he helps, whom he blesses, whom he loves. Because if Jesus can love three foreigners, why, that means Jesus can love you. But Herod is still in the picture, and it seems that the coming of the king is not always well received. The Magi were willing to go far, to great personal expense, months of traveling in the desert, to give sacrificial gifts that cost a fortune, willing to be humbled, bowing and kneeling before the king. And yet Herod, in his own backyard, the moment he finds out about Jesus, he sends his soldiers to kill him. So my friends, you see, for us, we have the Magi choice. We can welcome the king, or we can reject the king. We can accept, we can receive, we can be willing to seek and to follow, to love and to serve. Those are all the things the Magi do. But I wonder how many of us want to bump Jesus off, because he tells us to do something we don't want to do. I mean, let's face it, we Americans love to be kings and queens over our own kingdoms. And yet what happens when somebody says to us, there is one born king over your empire? Well, is Jesus a threat to your kingdom? To your property? Your money? Your time? Your passion? Your career? Your future? Is Jesus allowed to rule you? Or like every king desperately holding on to their kingdom, Jesus has got to go. My friends, that is the challenge that lies before us. The good news is we can become magi. The problem is there's a Herod in each and every one of us. We're willing to give God an hour on Sunday to worship and adore him. What about Monday morning at 8 o'clock when we go to work? What about Monday evening when we're not at work? Can God have Tuesday? Can God have Wednesday, Thursday? Can God have Friday night? Oh, God forbid. Saturday morning? There are 100-plus hours in the week. Can God have any of them, or are they yours? My friends, the Magi opened up their treasure boxes and gave valuable gifts to Christ. You've got a treasure box, something that you keep everything in, your prized possessions, your time, your family, your lives. Can God have any of them? Or are they yours? Can God have your abilities and your talents and your gifts? Can God have your shoulders and your time and your tears and your compassion for a neighbor, for a loved one? Can God have your money or your property or your family, your kids, your grandkids? Can God have your life? No. But God can have an hour on Sunday morning and a five I can put in the plate. My friends, the good news is there's a little bit of Magi in us all. We are willing to go far and to seek and to serve, to worship and bless. The challenge is there's a little or a lot of Herod in us all. God can have some, but God can't have it all. So my friends, what are you keeping in your treasure box that God can't have? What are you desperately clinging to, holding on? That's mine, you can't have it. My friends, we need to become more and more like wise men and women that are willing to cross deserts for Christ, willing to search and follow a star for Christ, to willing to give of our treasures for Christ. And then, and only then, when we seek after Christ only, then we will truly be wise men and women. But that means that the Herod in us all, that Herod's got to go. No longer clinging to mine, my time, my energy, my passion, my retirement, my future, my career, my family, my spouse, and even if it's my life. It means that if Jesus is truly our King, it's all His anyway. So my friends, on this Epiphany, take great comfort that the Jewish King is in fact our King, that we are loved and empowered by the one God was sent to be Savior of the world, not just one particular family. But the challenge of this day, and quite frankly, every day, is will we meet Christ as wise men, or will we meet Christ as Herods? My friends, you have the Spirit of Jesus Christ living in your hearts through faith. That is who you already are. God has seen to it. So become who you already are in Christ. Become wise men and women who seek after Christ, who worship Christ, who pay homage to Christ, and who give gifts to Christ. And then, and only then, you will be sons and daughters of God instead of Herod, the murderers. So, my friends, you have the Magi's choice. to be like them or to be like Herod. And right now, I have no doubts that you're all feeling inspired to make the Magi's choice. But tomorrow morning, when normalcy kicks in, what choice will you make then? And the day after, and the day after. It's not just a Sunday morning choice, it's an every morning choice. What choice will you make today and tomorrow? A Magi or a Herod? So let us give glory to God for his love and his power on all of us, not just a few of us, but that he would so love and cherish and value us that he would send the Son to us to make sons and daughters of us. May he be given the glory and the honor and the praises of his people this Epiphany and every day to come. And all God's people say together, Amen.